Why don't we start with a word of prayer and ask God to direct our thoughts? Because I really feel that the Spirit of God must take control of this and bring to the surface the things that we need to discuss, which will really be beneficial to us, and not to get off on some tangent that's not really important. So why don't I just lead us in a word of prayer? Our gracious Father, we do thank you for this past hour and for what we're anticipating from this time. And we do ask, Lord, that your Spirit might guide our thoughts, that you would anoint our lips and give us the words that we should speak. Help us to come up with solutions to the things that are really causing us problems deep within our hearts. Lord, we know and we realize that you love us and that you're really concerned about us and you really want to meet the need of our heart. We know that what is available to us is all the power that you possess and all the strength that we could ever possibly need. And so we pray now by your Spirit and your guidance that this time will bring glory to your name and that you will meet the need of every heart. For I would pray in Jesus' name. Trying to think where we left off. Seems like I've talked to several people since then and about several different things, so I'm not sure where we did leave off. I think Dottie was saying something. Let's see, we did leave off with this idea of, you know, really being burdened for a ministry out here, so to speak, and still fulfilling the responsibilities that God has given us first. And how much should we be involved? And perhaps we need to discuss this a little more because there's probably others of you who have questions. And there are probably many of you who have answers, who have been able to meet this need and come up with a solution. So I will not answer all the questions. I'll direct it to different ones like I did before. So why don't we just take it from there? And if you have a question, feel free to ask it. Robbie? Well, be rest assured, if the Lord returns, he's just going to take you up in the air and he won't even look at your mouth. Yes, I know what you mean. Somebody have a solution to that. Pat?
Well, not necessarily a solution, but recently, my husband and I were having a heart-to-heart talk. And I think that we tend to be bondage to our home. And I was tending towards it at the time we were having the talk. And he just told me in love, he said, frankly, and I just don't feel that laying your hands in the sanctuary of prayer. And boy, the floors were shiny, you know. And a new closet was straightened out, and blah, 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 you know. But that just really ripped my heart out when he said that. I just don't feel our home is in the sanctuary of prayer. And I think, you know, we just get, I think, in a sense, you know, we've been done an injustice, if you want to put it that way, by all this training we had, because we've gotten in bondage to
I know. I could see in my early days in the Navigators that, you know, I had this terrific schedule, and then I discovered that schedule wasn't very flexible. Then I began to see that schedule was running me, and I wasn't running the schedule. And I think this is a real danger. Jean?
I think, too, sometimes we've almost propagated the thought that excellence is what God expects from us in everything, and I don't believe that's true. I believe he expects wholeheartedness, but I don't believe excellence.
Right.
And I think, but I think we've complicated that to an extent to think that's the standard, and I don't believe it is.
Well, I was just going to say, I read recently in The Delights of Life by Edmund. It was Delights of Discipline. And he was talking about Mary and Martha. And it was really helpful to me. He said, you know, Jesus wasn't telling her Martha not to fix any food and just drop everything. But what he was saying to her was to do just a little bit so she'd have more time with him. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I feel like, you know, I've got to have my table set just a certain way, and I've got to have it just a certain way when we have company. And I thought, well, you know, really, Jesus would be more pleased if I would be relaxed and enjoy my company rather than, mm-hmm. you know, fussing with all these little things. Not that, I mean, I think we can still work it, doing it attractively and things, but there's a balance. There's some
less. Seems to be the cry of our life, you know. We either have a tendency to swing way over here, or we have a tendency to swing way over here, and we can't seem to bring the two together. Or at least I found this in my own experience, because I am a perfectionist. I like things neat, and if things aren't neat, you know, it's a bit frustrating, and it's something that I have to bring before God and ask Him to settle my heart in. If my home is not in perfect order, to be content and accept it. Not that I'm going to leave it that way forever, but there may be something more important over here that I should be doing. But God has been able to show me that I don't have to operate under frustration if this is the case. But this didn't come overnight. And also the fact that He has had to allow some very severe things to come into my life to sort of, you know, make me notice the fact that God is important in my life, and that's really all that is important. And if I get things straight with Him, then He's going to be able to develop and take care of all these other relationships, and I can be a contented wife. And I don't have to operate with frustration in my heart because I'm not performing this, I'm not getting my 3 verses a week, or I'm not having my quiet time, and all of this. Not that I'm going to neglect all that, but sometimes I just need to stop and take a look at myself and see what I'm doing. And I've really goofed the ball many times. And I've probably communicated, you know, things that I didn't want to communicate in the wrong way. But I praise God what He's already done in my heart and to show me what really is vital. And it's not that I throw everything out the window because He's shown me something else, but I try to work the things together. And I do try to maintain a standard because I think it does glorify God, but I can't always keep it up to the standard, you know. There may be other demands upon my life that I can't possibly fulfill that. And I think God understands that because He loves us. He knows we're just human.
California not too long ago, and they did a Bible study on pursuing God in love. And one of the questions really opened my eyes, and it was on Hosea 6:6, mm-hmm. where the Lord said He doesn't tell ahead of time. Anyway, they asked, what is a sacrifice? And at least in my own mind, I thought through it. In my case, a sacrifice is something I do for God, but for perhaps a wrong motive, out of a sense of duty or obligation, or because people are looking at me, or infinitum. And then the next question was, what does God think about my sacrifices? And it says He doesn't want them. Mm-hmm. And then it says, what does He want? What He wants my love. That really was a blessing to me, mm-hmm. that many times I pictured myself as doing that, you know, carrying my little lamb along to the altar and saying, you know, look, Lord, look what I've done. Mm-hmm. Look at my house and look at my Bible study or anything. And God said, well, that's very nice, but that's really not what I want. Mm-hmm. So my encouragement to learn, He did me.
Well, He wants our hearts, you know. All this other stuff out here that we're doing, that isn't really what He's concerned about. He wants my heart. He's given me responsibilities, yes, but He still wants my heart. And He wants me to live very close to Him. And that's vital. Carol?
And Jenny, I think we have to remember, too, that the Nav homes that we have been in, the wife had help from another door. We were helping her.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that we can stick in a situation.
Right, right.
If we don't have the help.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Right.
It's a matter of time. Again, you know, I think there is a time in your life when you can spend more time cleaning,
mm-hmm.
and doing a little extra things. But when you have two little runny-nosed kids pulling at you constantly, there's some cobwebs stay up in the corner for a few.
That's right. That's right.
And I have had to accept this because otherwise I just get all bent out of shape. And my house is not the way I really would like it. But I try and keep the superficial dirt moving anyway.
And you say when they're just, you know, two small children and they keep you very busy, but let me rest assure you that when your children get older, and like Lucille Fanny says, they break your back when you're little, when they're little, but they break your hearts when they get big. And when you go through some very trying experiences with your kids, it's going to drain you emotionally, and you're not going to be able to function physically. You know, you can't keep the floor dusted or this and this and this. So rest assured, I mean, you're not going to completely escape it ever. There's always going to be demands.
She said, you should keep your home the way they want to keep. You know, and like your husband set the standard.
But then make sure that you really pray that God will give him an understanding. And here again, I think, because of our capacity as women, some have a bigger capacity than others, that if, say, we have several small children and we have a lot of people in our home or people living with us and so on, then I think we should really come before God and ask for help if we need help. And probably it's our husband's responsibility to see that we do get the adequate help. Because if he is responsible for me and my spiritual life and my physical needs and all of these things, then I think we, as women, can pray and ask God to reveal that to him. And I don't know what Jim Downing is going to speak to the men, but he does have a session with the men, and maybe he'll share this very thing. And it may be an answer to your prayer.
Do you have guidelines on how we could know how to pace ourselves and know our capacity?
Anybody have any ideas? I said I was going to do all the talking. Shirley?
I found that my husband has helped me with my capacity. And he knows when I'm able to function. And he's really helped me when I have a guilt feeling. And he just said, well, you're going to listen, you're going to listen, what more can you do?
Right.
And sometimes I felt guilty that I put that load on him. I really appreciate it.
Right. Well, you know, I've functioned in a nav home for many years thinking that, well, I shouldn't probably burden my husband down with the things that are burdening my heart because he already has enough on his heart. But God did impress upon me the fact that, here again, he's responsible for me. And if he doesn't know what's going on inside, how can he possibly meet my need and help me personally? So therefore, but I think we know what have to know from God when to share this and when not to share it. And I have really asked wisdom and for a real opening from God as to when I should share something that's really bugging me, that something's deep down inside. But there is a time to share it and a time not to share it. Like if my husband's going through a period of discouragement, I'm not going to unload all my discouraging things on him at that time. Probably at that moment, he needs a little bit of encouragement. Because he goes through some things too. We may not realize that, but he does. And here again, like Shirley mentioned, my husband, and probably this, some of this has come through years of experience, but he realizes what my needs are. He knows when I can take just so much and that's it. And he will do everything in his power to see that I get the help I need. But this didn't come overnight, you know. It was sort of a growing thing. To help him to become alert to what I need. But see, there's nothing too big for God. He can work this out. Anyone else?
Recently I heard Liette share with us on this Mary and Martha. And she had said that Martha is the type of person often like we are. We're in competition with ourselves, really. Mm-hmm. And wanting everything just so. Mm-hmm. Whereas Mary, she was noted for being devoted mm-hmm. to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Then she puts the question to us, what are you noted for?
Right.
And out of this devotion and fellowship, which is the calling we have, It holds us firm when our children tug at our hearts mm-hmm. and our spirit. And another thing that helped me that day she was sharing, you get up every morning and you say, Lord, am I supposed to go through this again with these babies, changing, feeding, interruptions? What am I supposed to do today? And the verse she shared with us was John 14:26. This idea of being a disciple. If any man serve me, let him follow me, that where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So she says, well, every day, the Lord is with me. I'm his servant. And I just go on and my day is really a blessing because I know he's with me. I'm doing what he wants me to do, caring for the family or whatever. But I'm being a follower of Jesus Christ because I'm a servant of him that day. Mm-hmm. And he's with me. And so that really helps her quite a bit with her four. And you know the circumstances now. So I'm sure that she's experiencing this even more. That she is right where God wants her to be every single day.
Something that's very interesting to me, it seems like many times when God gives me a promise, then he begins to test me to see if I really believe it. You know, because many times I can say with my mouth, oh, sure, I believe this. I know this is what God wants. Oh, yes, you know, I'll get up and preach it. But pretty soon he puts me to the test to see if it's really real. Do I really trust him? And I'm sure for Liette right now, she's going through some things like this. She's really being put to the test. And can she really trust God in it?
We talked about discipleship, and you had the question, what is the cost? Would part of this be the cost of discipleship? Mm-hmm. I'd like to kind of hear some things on that. What is the cost of discipleship of a wife, a homemaker?
Something is really, that really speaks to me on this idea of cost. I think when Ron and I were married, I began to realize that so much of what I had learned about living in general, you just mentioned almost any area of living. And there were major things wrong that I had learned growing up. On housekeeping, my parents were divorced and my mother supported us. And I guess when I was in about the sixth or the seventh grade, she went back to college and got her master's degree. And now she is 30 hours above her master's degree, so she's no dummy. But she is not a housekeeper. I mean, she is just... At Christmas, I gave her a keychain that said, happiness is knowing where your keys are. The great big thing is every morning she loses her keys. Well, that's just the way she operates. And when we go home now, I can see this so much now. I couldn't see it then. But I can see it so much now. I just feel like pulling your hair out. And that's the way Ron was with me. I'm sure he just felt like pulling his hair out. Not that he'd want to do that now, but he won't even let Kristen pull his hair. But I really could contrast my patterns of living with his patterns of living and my patterns of thinking on optimism and perfectionism, as Virginia mentioned a minute ago. I tend to be a perfectionist, and I get so discouraged and so despondent. I was impressed with a little quotation that someone said that a perfectionist is the most miserable person in the world because he can't please himself and nobody else can please him. That's really true. You know, if you keep that standard up there. And just on learning new patterns and on housekeeping, I've got two closets to go, and then our upstairs portion, at least in the house, is going to be really organized. And that's just foreign to me. I'm an idiot when it comes to organizing. I haven't got it at all. I think I'm learning it more. But I didn't grow up with it, so I've had to learn it. And that grates on what comes naturally, because it doesn't come naturally. And yet it's such a pleasure to get it done. You know, it's so exciting. And just, you know, to get things organized and to get some help. That's been great, to just to, you know, use somebody else's skill to make up for what I'm lacking.
Sarah? Well, this isn't on what George asked, but on this idea of keeping house, one of the things that's really helped me, practical, is using my children. And they really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
They like the responsibility, and you know, they get that sense of accomplishment that they're doing something. And I mean, from the time they were real little, I could, you know, Amy used to straighten up a room, pick up all the toys, and when she was 3 years old. And now they've gotten in the habit. So on Saturday they have this little list of jobs to do. I got the idea from Lucy Sanney. It's not original. But they seem to really thrive on it.
Well, I've discovered this too, yet I do have a 19-year-old daughter. So I'm wondering if I've built anything into her life. Because as far as I'm concerned, she's a total mess as far as keeping out. Now, I can't say that she can't do it. She can. And I've seen her, you know, get in there and really gun, but it's not a part of it. You know, it's not the natural part. And I keep saying, well, Becky, someday, you know, you may get married and you may have to keep a house, you know, and if you don't learn a little bit or do a little bit now, you're not going to do it then. She said, oh, yes, I will, Mother. Oh, yes, I will. She said, I want to please my husband, you know, and I'll do it. So that's an encouragement to my heart. And I know she can do it, but it's not a part of her life.
Is it part of any teenager's life?
Not a natural part.
Yeah,
not a natural part.
Belmont girls are... They're terrific.
Mm-hmm. You've done well, Donna.
Yeah. Don't come around on midweek.
Well, as I say, my daughter can do a beautiful job if, you know, she gets in, plugged away, and she can, you know, really perform. But it isn't her normal pattern. Joyce?
That's the way Laura was. She was two girls. I had closed her room a couple of times. I never got into the house. I automatically go in and leave her bathroom there. So close it.
Right. But when we did this weekend,
the long came up. You know,
every night
we
did
like,
you know,
I don't expect an album to have that. She had cleaned the walls.
Oh,
that's terrific. After she'd worked all night, we had rooms in our room, standing on the table, homemade ice cream sticks, and everything that she could think of to do. And every meal after mom, first meal, they said no, they just met on the other meal. It was really a joy
going
to her home as an adult.
Mm.
And she said she thought
I'd
at least every 6 months,
but
she said, where
did
you get
that? That's a tremendous encouragement.
Every drawer, every closet, everything. You know, I was going to put the director, she said, good little house. Mm. I used to wait, Susan was there. I used to be here, nagger there.
Well, I had determined before God that, you know, I did nag Becky for a while. But then I had determined before God that I wasn't going to become an ogre all the time and say, make your bed, pick up your room. So I did the very thing you did. I closed the door. If it wants to stay, the bed stay unmade for 3 days, okay, it's going to stay. But then, of course, it does get to me because, as I say, I'm a perfectionist and I can't stand it too long. And then I will say something to her, you know, how about making your bed? It's been 3 days. And she sort of gets the message. But anyway, getting back to the question that George asked.
Well, I wonder, is always part of the cost of discipleship.
I think it's probably a cost of
being
a disciple.
Mm-hmm. And I'm praying that the Lord will be teaching me this now. And he's given
God. Mm-hmm. And praise is what I say, my folks, I want to say my folks are both in the Lord. And continually make my praise them for that. These are praise instead of trying to know I got in the verses, which will be a, customer and right away when I'm getting a single job and maybe and that person's not helping me.
Right.
So I think it's our attitude, and I know that my attitude hasn't been in the past days what it should have been. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's just continually put ourselves in the Word and having the Word on us and continually abiding Christ and thinking about Him as we work.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am a possession of my view and I can't stand it sometimes. But then I can stand it and come out from that. So I think God, just these last few months, Lord has been in the Word, keep His Word and when I go about doing my work.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And this business about Mary and Martha, we sort of look at that and say, we kind of condemn Martha in our hearts, and we praise Mary. And I don't think God was doing that. I think what He was trying to point out here is the fact that Mary chose that which was best. But we also have to be Marthas, because just in the function of a home, there are responsibilities. And if there are people there, we have to be busy serving them. Somebody's going to have to serve them. And usually it's me. So I don't think the Lord was condemning one and praising another. He was just trying to bring in here again a little balance that we have to fulfill both ends. Any other thoughts?
Somebody said one about having a Martha, a Mary heart and a Martha mind.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Roger was talking about the cost of discipleship. And there is a cost, but I think there are also great advantages and blessings to being associated with the Navigators, and then all the places we live and the people that we have the privilege of coming into contact with, and the experiences by moving around that our children have, and the people that they meet and see. And there are great advantages that I think we sometimes, we just take them for granted because it's our way of life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's quite different than the normal
mm-hmm.
way of life. Well, I think it's terribly exciting to, after a few years in the ministry, and the ones that God has privileged you to have as part of your life in ministry, to watch Him to go to different corners of the world and minister, and how God is blessing and using Him. And just to realize that really it's God's work and He has done it, but He let you have a part in it. And this is very rewarding. And in the verse in Mark where it talks about what the disciples left and what the promise of the Lord was, that He will increase His hundredfold with brothers and sisters and houses and all of these things, it really makes it worth it all. Sure, it may cost me some time with my husband, and it may cost me some time that I normally would give to my children. But the thing is, I think in my early years, I made mistakes because I wasn't alert to some of these things. And I don't even like to use that as an excuse. But I just wasn't taking time for some of these things. I didn't have all my priorities straight. But the thing is, I think we can do both. We may be limited in some of it. But if we take advantage of the time that we have with our husbands, if we take advantage of the time we do have for our children and all of these things, God will honor that. It isn't how much time we spend with them, but it's what we do with that time that we do have. And I think we need to watch this. Go back to the cost of discipleship. Are there any further questions? Maybe we should go to another subject. Pat?
Well, I have a real question that I appreciate a lot, and I imagine, although I'm in a different situation from most of you, my husband is in full-time work for navigators, he's in full-time work for hospital, he's hard to get home.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem that I run into is that I'm home all day, and while you're doing your work, your mind goes not on anything. And I can just come up up with idea after idea after idea. You know, oh, we can do this, we can do this, we can approach it this way, well, maybe we need more man to man, and you're thinking of it on and on. And I've got all these ideas, you know. And I'm wondering how, and of course, I see the problem, and he's not perfect. And I know what his frustrations are and so forth. And I'm wondering what the balance is on this kind of a problem between silently praying about it and openly being honest in your relationship and sharing your heart. Because I know if you overshare these things, it totally cuts down the confidence. You know, and yet you are the other team. And I'm just wondering how you discern in essence on this, you know, where to draw the line on how much you share.
Well, what do some of you wives do in respect to this? Because I'm sure you all have.
You know, I think it's just something you have to learn. Because used to, when Chubb would come in, it was 20 questions. You know, I had them right there. I've been thinking about them all day. Mm-hmm. And I had 3 children, and I just wanted to know everything that's going on. And then I get mad because he just say a quick little answer, and that'd be it. You know, then I tough around for a while, you know, and it got to be that way. So after a while, I grew to learn that there was a time to ask them. And I think that's what you have to begin to feel now. I don't think the way Doris does it is, you know, like for instance, Jeannie and Roger used to come up to our house and they didn't say for me. And Roger loved for her to have questions to ask him, where did you tell me that? See, if I did that with Chuck, I get one little short sermon and that would be it. You know? I mean, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it's just the difference. You just got to.
I guess this is a part of adapting to your husband.
I was talking, I think, more about sharing when you have observations about a problem in ministry, for example. You know, that maybe things aren't going even the way you know he wants to, but he doesn't have time to sit down and figure out why. But you've got time, and you think, at least you think you've figured it out. You know, it's his problem, right? You know, a lot of time. And yet, you don't want to tell him, you know, this is what's wrong, this is what you need to do, or this is what we need to do. And yet, sometimes you are right, and there's the balance between the openness of the relationship. So in other words, is there a time that you do openly share some of these things with your husband? Or
no.
Is that the, you know, it depends on the couple, I suppose.
Well, there are a lot of wives here with a lot of husbands involved. What do you do?
Clara? Jay was good about this. In our contact point, everyone that came through was telling him how to do that. And a lot of people were very critical. Well, this is the way we do it, which is the perfect way. And so the one thing he did not need was his wife saying, Jay, why aren't you spending more time with this guy? Or why aren't you talking about dedication or commitment to this guy? Because he gets enough criticism from other people that what he needed from me was just first to get the tone of the way he felt that day. And then to blend in with it and help accordingly. And I think that's just a lot of service time.
You know, I mean, that's why we do, because we're at home, and we're safe, secure, we're not all threatened. You know, we're there, we have our sports, our lives, you know, and all that stuff. And he is out there, and he's being threatened from every side. You know, like, same job, it takes so much time. I'm sure you're threatened by that, not always. And I know, you know, Chuck is a little, it may not be anything verbal, but a lot of things threatening just his abilities. And I just now I mean, I did it today.
I think we all have.
I think before I thought, but I think kind of taught me that. But it didn't really help because I think women tend to think very quickly. They draw their conclusions. They say it, and it's gone. And men, I think, take longer. They think deeper. They're thinking a lot more around a lot more things. They're involved. You know, they're involved with more people. And I think it's just, my experience has been that. I've tried, we've just in talking, I found I just had lots of questions, not necessarily ideas, but lots of questions, and Rogers just said that he's appreciated the questions because it helps him think through, and he's really the one that's coming to the conclusion, but sometimes I think,
could happen if we, you know, or things like this. And I think that the way I handle things is a lot different now than when we first met. And I think sometimes I was trying to be on his team the way I was on Nancy Biggin's team. And a time change. But I think questions sometimes just stimulate me.
Leon?
Well, Barb taught me something one time. I was coming to the office, and she was sharing how she got to a point where she just had to wait until he came to her and asked her what her opinion was of it. Mm-hmm. That really helped me a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a point that Robbie made was very good, you know, because all our husbands are different, and what they want of their wife is different. And what we need to do probably is establish some kind of a communication line so we can find out what he does want. And then accordingly, I mean, if he does want my opinion, then fine, I can give it. If he doesn't want it, fine, I won't give it. You know? But many times, if there's something that's really bugging you, like there has been several times in my life, and I really wanted to share with Leroy because I could see it, it was so obvious, you know? But I haven't really felt at peace about opening my mouth and saying anything. So I began to pray about it. And then suddenly, through a circumstance, God revealed that to Leroy. And do you know that my heart just about leaped out of my chest on occasions like this? Because I thought, Lord, look what you've done! And I didn't approach it the wrong way or say the wrong thing at the wrong time, you know, and so on. But God had worked it out. And in a much probably more revealing way than had I come, because he, once in a while he writes this to me, he says, Virginia, I don't need a spiritual policeman, you know, and I go, what does he mean by that? You know, I know perfectly well what he means by that. And yet, he has also shared with me, because I'm a woman and the way God has made me, I'm probably a little more sensitive in several areas than a man normally. Therefore, I'm probably more alert and aware of certain things in lives of people. And he appreciates very much if I, in my observations, well, just observing, that I observe this thing and then I go and share it with Leroy because maybe he didn't even see it at all. And he has told me over and over again how much he appreciates this in me because it helps him, because he just isn't sensitive in that area. And I feel great. I can have a ministry here, you know. Because he counts on me for that. I didn't want to do all the talking. Right. Well, and I think you have to find out what's on his heart as far as what he wants in relation to this.
I think, I don't know if I'm still leaving the question clear. Maybe I should say one more thing in case it brings something else up. And I, basically, most of the things that I said, you know, I think that I'm so forth, and I really appreciate that. But I find that once in a while, I get uptight about something, see? Mm-hmm. And there's an element of honesty and marriage that has to be there, you know? And I'm just wondering if there are times, see, I'll get uptight about these things. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if my responsibility is totally just to remain silent and go to the Lord, or if you do feel that there are times, even though it may hurt and we may have to grapple with the thing, mm-hmm. if you have to...
Well, here again, it may go back to the fact that there's something really bugging me in my heart. I need to get it out. But I probably need to ask the Lord for real wisdom as to how I do it. Is it because I'm uptight about something and I'm frustrated or I'm mad or it's my temper or I may blurt it right out? Or how graciously do I share it with him? Because I think that will help a lot in what his reaction to the whole thing is.
Something that I struggle with relating to this over and over again has been the desire to share something when in my heart I know it's something that bothers me, mm-hmm. rather than sharing it because I know it will help Mark. I realize it will help him, but it's also something that bothers me. Mm-hmm. And I realize that isn't right. I think what was shared at one conference by someone that as soon as we begin to feel this little rumbling or surging within us that we can realize that we are emotionally involved and we can't be as objective. Mm-hmm. And one of my goals for this year is to be self to speak. and I think it's probably going to go beyond this year, because it's so, especially with wives, it's so easy to want to speak up and stay aligned, and as you've already mentioned, Virginia, the importance of not sharing everything about you, sharing at the wrong time. And I think that one important thing to remember is how are we sharing it? And is it a matter of I'm sharing this with you, or does it have to be a matter of sharing? Can it be sometime when possibly we're discussing things of the ministry together? And, well, honey, what do you think about this idea? And I'm still working on this, but I can see where there have been times when I have played a part in decreasing Mark's confidence rather than being a builder of him. And I think more important than, we'll say it in priority to the men that our husbands are helping would be our husband's self-acceptance and his relationship with the Lord and with us. So my relationship with my husband is more important than my saying or doing something to damage that.
You know, a verse that the Lord gave me several years ago, not just in respect to my children, or to my husband, but to my children and others, and it's found in Proverbs 31, which ties in with what you said. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is law of kindness. And oh dear, you know, it's so easy to come out and be very sorry for what I said later, you know, but to come out and say something which, is, you know, deeply hurt someone or might even destroy something in someone's life because I haven't been careful in what I've said and shared. Yes.
Which would just go over to Israel and talk to this guy about this and that, you know, and show him these verses, and I had them all in my mind, you know, then maybe that guy would be that way, or maybe they'd be able to communicate with each other better, and blah, 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 you know. That's the thing, you know, ideas and suggestions about how to manage those sort of things. So,
one of the most painful experiences.
And it's kind of like the I don't think you really understand what's going on. And then it went from there to the point where now it seems to be in the place where I'm asking, well, questions like if there's one person I have in mind that when I say this, but I just say that sometimes, you know, Mike's been over here several days when you had to leave suddenly. Do you think you called him? I said, yeah, he called me. And then a little while later, you know, I've been thinking about Mike and, you know, and then something else will come up. Or I'll ask him, how's Mark doing? And it's feeling much like it's been kind of quiet and how's it doing? And he'll share with me very freely. And then he might even share some ideas. And he might even go from there and say, well, what do you think of that? Yeah, and then go there, that way.
Okay.
But it is like an appreciation. But I have a question. I'll bet this comes up again if you see it, huh? But you think, you know. You offer those suggestions to your husband about how to manage your kids, or is that
me? Well, yes, I think I've done that. But then after you're faced with a few things, pretty soon all you're doing is bowing before God and asking his wisdom as to how to deal with the situation. Yes.
Really? You know, I think that the key in all of this is our certain times of our and we talk about this all the time, and usually we find out that this is a new area, even in our next staff.
Yes,
we
very much so.
If we're praying for them and with them about their contact, then they don't feel so threatened when we ask questions about, you know, how it's going to be, and what can I pray for you now? And I think an awful lot of this kind of thing It erased. And we're spending time every day, and I mean every day, we're praying in prayer, not only for our lives and our children, but for the ministry.
For the whole thing.
So they feel secure in the fact that we are really involved with him and strongly supporting him and interested, and they want to know more of him and what we think and how we can help. But then
that's
people
very good.
Thank Christ for this service. We never get together in the and dear Lord, thanks for the day. Amen. At times we were addicted. But it just doesn't provide that basis for him.
It really doesn't.
We share that a lot.
And if you want to find out what's on your husband's heart, then just pray with him. You'll find out what's there, and he'll find out what's on your heart, you know. Because usually you pray about things that are on your heart.
I think it can be dangerous, too, to make us too cautious about seeking to our husband.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times, with all the godly women tapes and everything we've heard, that we get the picture that we have to carry so much of it alone to help our husband. And yet I think God has put us together to share and to really know exactly what's going on in each other's heart. And with me, if I keep something for too long, even though I commit it to the Lord, it just keeps, you know, it just keeps building and things like this. And I found that with us, the best time to settle things is as soon as possible. Even if it's just taking a second, even to say, I know we don't have time to really talk it completely out, but this is bothering me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need in our relationships with our husbands to build something, to work at building something close and not feeling that we have to be almost the ones to guard them from other things, because God's put us together to share.
Right. Well, have you ever read in the Berkeley Why God Created the Woman? He created the woman to complete the man. Now I like that, you know. I'm sort of to make up for some of the areas maybe that are lacking in his life, to compliment him, to help him, and so on. And I don't think that he fully intended our relationship to be sort of a robot thing, that this man is over here God and I'm a little robot and I just automatically respond, you know. I think he meant it to be a close-knit relationship where we can share our hearts in love, where we can be friends, you know, and we can enjoy things together. I think he meant that relationship to be like that, because it's an example to the world of the relationship between Jesus Christ and the church. And what kind of display are we making to the world in our relationship? Is it something the world wants?
Do you think this has to do with the longer we're married, our communication with our husband is usually developing and growing? And like, I mean, we're at a place where I can share pretty freely anything I want to. And a lot of times I share ideas on the ministry, my thinking on it. And sometimes he'll say, oh, that's a good idea, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Other times he'll explain to me that, you know, that's not a very good idea. You don't know why. I think you're right. I mean, I think we should be communicating with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I know also there is a time to share. I mean, not in a critical spirit.
Right,
too.
Right. In a loving way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Betty? I think it is a part of growing up. You know, it just doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen the first year, second year, or third year of marriage. You know, it takes a while to develop this. And God has to allow certain things to come into our lives to develop that. See, I think, and I know, that the times that I really grow is when I'm faced with things that are very difficult, something I can't handle. And it either makes me or breaks me. You know, but I thank God for this, because it makes me realize that he's continually working in my life. Carla? Did everybody hear that?
No.
Do you want to stand up? Maybe we'll hear you a little more clearly.
I think it's important to remember the report that obviously
be a simple answer for everyone's problem that usually the problem is not complex. And we just have to have more confidence that God does put a person there that he's going to help the true situation so that he can be behind
yeah.
And not to just ask him to let him to do it because he doesn't do that yet. So usually he can do it back to that.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is that people just have confidence and not just we got all the answers.
Right.
And forget that even the people are complex.
Right. You know, Lauren Sani shared something the other night in his session with, or about the women, which was a great comfort to my own heart. It was the fact that he said, I don't believe that men will ever completely understand women, and I don't believe women will ever completely understand men. And if we think this is possible, let him know. You know, and I think this is true because I don't think like a man. So therefore, my solution to something probably means I haven't really thought way down the road on it like he has. And I may question in my heart, you know, well, why is Leroy doing that with that person? I can obviously see what he should be doing, you know. But maybe I don't say anything, but pretty soon, in discussing something with Leroy, he'll bring out his long-range goal for that person. That is why he's doing what he's doing step by step. But I just didn't understand it. Well, see, men are just more objective and we're more emotional. We're guided by our emotions, you know, and we react this way because we're emotional. And chances are we might be making a mistake, you know, when we react that way. So I think we have to be careful. And before we close, and I know it's time to close, we seem to go over, but a book that has been very helpful to me and has revealed a lot to me about myself is called A Struggle for Peace. And it's written primarily to Christians because it seems like too many Christians go through their whole Christian experience with this inward turmoil. And it's written by Dr. Grant, and I have 3 or 4 copies with me if you'd just like to look it over. But it sure points out a lot of things about Virginia and helps me.
Pardon?
Struggle for Peace. Yes. He's a psychologist that has spent most of his practice in counseling Christian couples and so on. So he has a wealth of experience. And it's really, in fact, several of the single girls in the Springs have read it, and it's revolutionized their lives. It's really helpful. And it's helped me. Not only for myself, but then in helping, talking with them. Well, with the noise out there, I think we better close. And Doris, why don't you lead us in a word of prayer?